Sunday morning, the 6th of October. Now, you'll hear me talking about at the end of the message, partaking of the Lord's Supper, and that was in preparation of preparing our hearts to get ready to take the Lord's Supper. So I hope you'll gain some insight from this lesson concerning the end times and the times that we are living in today. So listen intently, get your Bible out, and let's get into that message, okay?
Father, all of those folks that's been ravaged by this storm from Florida to Georgia to South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Father, all of that up and down through that entire corridor, Father God, that was ravaged by this storm. Father God, some are without electricity, without food, without any way to get to the ATM, and when they get to the ATM, it's not open because there's no power. Father, they're devastated, and the government is not doing a lot to help them out. Father, send help to them. Send help, Father God. Help them, Lord, in these dire situations that they're in. And Father, this upcoming storm, Lord, your will be done, Father. Thine will be done. And we ask God to watch over and protect those, Father God, who are covered by the blood. Yes. And Father, bring those who aren't under the covering of the blood to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be protected. Yes. Father, your will be done. Help us, Lord, to help those who have lost and have nothing now. Amen. Father God, there are many out there who had everything and now they have nothing. But Father God, if they have you, Lord Jesus, they have everything. Amen. And it doesn't matter what happens in this life, but what matters is what happens afterwards. So Father, these are the prayer requests. Lift them up, I pray, Lord, and hear in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Like to remind everybody, if you want, there's candidate guides back there on the back table that sort of tell you who supports what, who opposes what, and to give you some kind of idea of maybe how you might want to vote. Not telling you how or anything, but it's back there. Reminder, and this will be part of into my opening statements, but tonight at 7 p.m., guess what's happening?
A concert of prayer.
So you can go to our website, challengeministries.com, click on the listen link, and there will be a drop-down menu, and it'll say 24/7 stream. Hit that at 10 minutes to 7. You'll hear music playing at exactly 7 p.m. Pastor Bob will come on with the concerts of prayer, and we definitely need prayer, not only in this nation, but in Israel.
Yes,
and in some of my opening comments here on my message, you'll understand because I've included those in that. We also have the Lord's table today, and Quinn, if you would administer that when the time comes. Let's get in the Word, won't you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. Like Pastor Bob says, we need to take you filthy lucre. You got anything you want to give to the Lord?
Yes.
Come on up. What is it? It's like there was an old saying, say it takes a city to raise a family, or it used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes all of y'all to keep me in faith. Children are dismissed at Children's Church. You know, as we look at the situation, not only in the world, on international stage, but we look at it on the national stage here in our own nation, there's nothing but strife and division, is there?
Amen.
Strife and division everywhere you go, and confusion and conflict. We ask ourselves, hey, what's it all about? What's it all about? Well, I know what it's all about. And many of you do too, because you know what the Word of God says. We keep telling you that before the end comes, the Lord Jesus Christ in His return, there are several things that have to happen. And we know from the Word of God that the gospel has to be spread across all the nations. If you look back at Matthew chapter 24 and look at verse 14, it says, the disciples had asked Jesus when he went out and out of the temple, and they turned around and said, hey, Jesus, have you noticed all this beautiful structure here? And Jesus basically said, yeah, I see it, but one day not one stone will be left upon it. And I'm paraphrasing. But But they came to him, and as he sat there on the Mount of Olives, they said, tell us, when shall these things be? When he told them, not a stone will be left upon on this temple here. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Okay. And the end of the world. So they've asked three things. When is this going to happen? When, you know, and this temple will be tore down? Or what are the sign of your coming, Jesus? And I'm in verse 3. And the end of the world. So they asked me three things. When was this temple be destroyed? When's the sign of your coming? And the end of the world. Three things. We're going to be looking at some of that today. We know from the Word of God back there in verse 14 that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Has that happened yet?
No, sir.
No, it's not. Not even close yet. So you got to use the Word of God to let it speak to you about the signs of the times that we're living in, not some book or artist or a guy said that Jesus Christ is going to come in 1988. You know, well, here it is. It ain't 88. Nobody can predict when Christ is coming. They try to, and it just shows you the ignorance of them not knowing what the Word of God says. Verse 15 of Matthew 24, when therefore you shall see the abomination desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever shall read it, let him understand. So right there, the gospel's got to be spread, and the desolation, or the one that causes the abomination desolation standing in the holy place, where is that? It's in Jerusalem, isn't it? In the temple. So that ain't happened yet. That's got to happen. Christ won't be back until after these things happen. So now, look at verse 21. He's saying, for such then, and there's more to add to this, but right in verse 21 he said, for then shall there be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor will ever be. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, who are the elect? You, the born again, those that God has proclaimed, these are my children, though they may have not come to Christ yet, but they are the elect. Look at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Think about that. Lightning shooting out from the east all the way across to the west. Is anybody going to see it? Yes, everybody. So how is Christ's return going to be? Is it going to be in secret?
No.
Everybody is going to see it. And I believe, like Pastor Bob, I believe his coming, you will see him instantaneously, like the lightning flashes from the east to the west. But I believe his coming will be progressive, because as the world turns, not the TV thing, but as the world turns, people see as the light comes up on their side of the world, the same thing, or the darkness. So definitely in the darkness, you're going to see the coming of the Lord in the clouds. The brightness of Him will shine across the entire spectrum of the earth, whether it's day or night or anything. So His coming is going to be that glorious. Verse 27, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 29, immediately, now I want you to get this, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So there's going to be this great tribulation. Then after that, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light. Picture what is going to happen here on this earth. The stars shall fall from the heavens. and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You get a picture? What do you see? No sun, no moon, no stars. You're going to see total darkness upon the earth, day or night, because there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars, and the earth is going to be shaken. Do you think that will grip the hearts of men? Some it will. Some will be so callous that nothing will move them. But I want you to see that. And then, remember, there's total darkness. Got that? Stars don't shine. Moon is not giving its light. And the sun is not giving its light. The sun is darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from the heavens. And the power of the heavens shall be shaken. Then, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And don't you think when He appears from the east to the west, everybody in the world is going to see it. Because there's total darkness in the world. And now light has all of a sudden engulfed everything. And it's Jesus Christ coming in all His glory. So verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. If you call back in Acts, when Jesus ascended, what happened? He gradually ascended, didn't He? And the disciples there, standing there, gazing at Him, going up into the heavens, into the clouds, slowly. And the two angels gathered around and said, "You men of Galilee, why standing you here gazing at this Lord Jesus?" I'm paraphrasing. This same Jesus will return in like manner. Here it is. He's going to appear in heaven, and He's coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Now look, verse 31. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds of one end of heaven to the other. What do you think that might be? He's calling the elect, isn't He? And who do you think these elect are? The church, the born again, all of those that's died previously, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, those in the future that, who were there at that time, all culminating of all of God's chosen people, His elect, those that's died and gone on before. Well, as I was talking earlier, the things we talked about here, we know that this gospel's got to be spread throughout all the world. And we know that there has to be a one world order. What is a one world order? Well, in the last 20 years, you may have heard it mentioned from time to time throughout on the news, talking about a new world order, a one world order. All that is a setting up the establishment of a one world government system. And guess who is going to be the ruling authority over that one world government system? The Antichrist. And guess who will be setting, making abomination of desolation in Jerusalem, in the temple? The Antichrist. Guess who's going to destroy Him when He comes? He's going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Guess who else will eventually wind up there with them? The Satan, his angels, and all of those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether on this kingdom, this heaven and this earth is going to pass away, but His word will stand forever. But those who die in Christ, they're going to be resurrected. But those who don't die in Christ, they're going to suffer the second death. That second death is being cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be in this time frame or whether it be in the millennial reign of Christ while Christ is actually reigning on the earth. Do you know, as Christ reigns and rules on the earth and you are ruling and reigning with him, that there will be those that still reject Jesus Christ, who's on the throne in Jerusalem, reject him as the Son of God. And then there's going to be another war. Satan is bound for how many years?
1,000 years.
Then he's released. And I often think, God, why would you do that? Why would you release him? I don't know the answer, but I guess it's got to be to show the plan that even though Satan is bound 1,000 years, there are going to be those who reject Christ because they exercise their will, just like people do today. You can say, well, I'm a Christian. You're never at church. You're never reading your Bible. You never pray. If you say you're a Christian, you ought to be in church. You should be letting your light shine. But I'm afraid so many of God's people have backslid or never knew Christ. There was never a change in the heart. Oh, they'll profess all day long, but they don't possess. Sorry to say, when it comes time for judgment day, you go over with the goats. Because there's going to be people populating this earth at the time Christ comes, and not all of them are going to be raptured. And there's going to be continued procreation upon the earth. Some will believe, some will not. Some will say, yes, that is Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. I believe in him. And there will be others who refuse. Well, who is this turkey up there thinking he's God? You have that today. Blasphemy. God. So we know there's going to be this one world order. And we know the progressive steps are already happening. Why do you think everything is so tough in America about trying to set godly standards and have godly standards and even mention the name of Jesus Christ? Why do you think we got idiots trying to rule our nation? Possibly God put them there because he's fixing to judge this nation. Or possibly he put them there to show the ignorance of those who are without God trying to rule and reign something. And I honestly believe in my heart that unless we get a leader that will turn this nation back to God, as the leadership goes, so goes the nation. You get a weak, limp-wristed, there you go, politician that will just bend and buckle, that whatever the crowd goes to, it's going to destroy this nation. And we got two candidates this time. God help us if we choose the wrong one. And those of you may be listening out there that haven't made your mind up, you better side on the side of God. Amen. Or at least a person who at least acknowledges God and understands that it's God and understands that we got to support Israel no matter what. But when you mention God, when you mention Christ, I'm afraid that in today's society, everybody's gone woke crazy. Just no rhyme nor reason of anything. In my thoughts, it's just utterly stupidity, demonically driven. So this new world order, they want, there's groups that get together in the nations that want to overthrow the United States of America. Why? Because we stand in the way of a one world government progression. You can't have a state that's strong enough to take out everybody else. And we can do that. So I think there's these pawns. They put pawns into place, and we've allowed it from the church to vote into office these, I gotta clean up my thoughts. These people that are bought, purchased, and paid by those who want to destroy this nation. And they will do anything and everything to destroy this nation. And we don't know the truth coming out of any media source. It's all lies, and it's got to fit their agenda. If it doesn't fit their agenda, you're not going to hear about it.
Nope.
You haven't heard about all of the stuff that's happened in North Carolina.
No.
All those deaths. I seen one where the lady opened up and was calling 911, and they asked her, said, "Are you in trouble?" She said, "No, I'm okay." "Well, then what's the problem?" She opened up her door, and there's like 5 or 6 bodies laying out there in her yard, dead. You don't hear that, do you? You don't hear about FEMA helping out those people up there. It's the people helping the people, yet we see the government sources getting involved in keeping people out from helping out the people. That's where we are as a nation. That's the government ship we're under right now. So this new world order, the United States is a superpower. But there are those out there who don't want us being a superpower. They want to annihilate us so they can be the superpower, if God permits. And if God permits, it won't be long before there's another one out there who wants the taste of the superpower and try to knock them out. It happens over and over again. Why are you telling me all of this? Well, you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because your life could be snuffed out like that tonight, today, before you go home. You got to know that I am a bought purchase with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens to me, I know where my destiny is. So, it's a never-ending thing. And we look around the world at what's happening over in Israel with Hamas and Hezbollah right now. And I don't know where you stand with that. I probably do. But I don't know how you feel about it. But let's look at Isaiah chapter 54 for a minute. Isaiah 54, verse 14. That's what God says. Isaiah 54, verse 14. We're going to look at 15, 16, and 17. In righteousness, verse 14, you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear and from terror, for each shall not come near you. Verse 15, indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Verse 15. Indeed, they shall sure assembly, but not because of me, God is saying. But whoever assembles against you, they shall fall. Verse 16. Behold, he said, I have created the blacksmith. Your Bible just may say smith, but behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. I have created the spoiler to destroy. God is saying that. I've created the spoiler to destroy. Meaning, I have created the one who creates those weapons that are used in warfare against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. So did you get that? No weapon formed against you shall prosper? Because it's the heritage that God has given us as His saints, servants of Him. And our righteousness is from God, not from some man. Notice he doesn't say here, he does not say that the weapon won't be formed. He says the weapon will be formed. Now we can bring it over to our own selves that Satan forms these weapons against us to try to get us to fail, try to prevent us from being all we can be for God. But the weapon is going to be formed against you. The adversary of your soul is going to form weapons of whatever kind he can do to, and whatever source that he may use to be used against you. The same is true of the church. You know, the church we just prayed for. I don't know what weapon is formed against them that Satan is trying to use, whether it's physical or internal. I don't know that. God knows, but I do know that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Same is true of the church. But then here, God is speaking to his people, Israel, in Isaiah here. He's speaking to Israel, but it applies to us today. No weapon will form against you shall prosper. Yes, those weapons will be formed, and the weapons will be utilized, but they won't prosper. But then it comes to this. Look at Psalms 122, verse 6. This is what we are to do. Psalms 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. So God is saying, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And he's saying that those who love you, Jerusalem, they may prosper. God said to Abraham, he said, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. We would do well as a nation to understand what that means. We better be praying that this nation will never become one of those who will curse Israel. I realize that right here in our own nation, that the borders of our own nation, we have become fragmented with nations from other countries, other nations, a group of different nations in this nation. And there's so much strife, so much division going on within our own nation. There are those who are for Israel. There are those who are against Israel. Anti-Semitism. And it's all right here in our face. Amen. In the church, we are intercessors, folks. We are the intercessors. The ambassadors for Christ. We stand on the Word. We agree with the Word of God. And those who oppose Israel would do well to take in consideration just what God said to Abraham. That I will bless those who bless you, Israel, and I will curse those who curse you. And as we do this, and your mind is probably all of the stuff you see, all of these people cursing Israel, wanting them annihilated. They would do well to understand what God said to Abraham about that. I will curse those who curse you. All that being said, we are the intercessors and ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And, Gary, as I had put this into my notes, for that reason is I want you to join us tonight at 7 p.m. for the concert of prayer that's happening. God only knows how many will be joining us in this concert of prayer tonight at 7 p.m. But rest assured, this nation needs prayer. Israel needs prayer. And we need to be blessing Israel, regardless what the others say. Make it a habit of blessing Israel and those people. Well, we just about wrapped up. There's only a few more verses I really want to talk about. Let's look at, you know that heaven and earth is going to pass away. This heaven that we see, this earth, will one day pass away. It's gone like a vapor. When that happens, where are you going to be? Hopefully, you're going to be in the new heavens and the new earth. Because there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth come down. This one will flee away. But that won't happen until after the 1,000-year reign and in the judgment day. Verse 36, Matthew 24. Glad to see you're listening. Matthew 24, verse 36. Let me back up to 32. Verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree, Jesus was saying. When his branches put forth and yet tender and putteth forth the leaves, know ye that summer is nigh. Likewise, when you see all of these things, know you that is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, shall all of these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my word. Just to back up a little, because I don't want to miss some of these points I got written down. After the tribulation of those days, and then Jesus Christ returns, and we talked about who is the elect, and we decided that the elect were the Christians, and all the people of the ends of the age, culminating now of this earthly history, referring to all believers of all time, gathered together at this end time. And when that happens, this ushers in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke about the tribulation and the great tribulation, and he said it's going to be the worst time that's ever been upon the history of the earth. And I'm sure those folks up in North Carolina, and all of those that's been devastated by this hurricane, probably think it can't be no worse than this. But I'm here to tell you it can. Jesus said it's going to be the worst time. Daniel said that as well. It's going to be an unparalleled time of tribulation in human history. Never before like this. Nothing has happened like it in the past, and nothing is ever going to happen like it again that can compare to it. How bad can it get, you may ask? Well, you know, it's bad now in certain places, isn't it? Can you imagine over there in Israel and all of those homes, all of those cities that's been destroyed? Nothing left but rubbles. Can it get worse than that? Yes, it can. The individuals who left and fled from there probably say, no, it can't. But how bad is it going to get? Throughout history, we've had wars. We've had earthquakes. We're still having them. We've had famines. We're still having them. We've had all of those things that we previously read about. So how bad can it get? Well, let's look what's happening today. Floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, fires. It's bad, isn't it? It's going to get worse. It can get worse. If you turn to the book of Revelation, which we're not right now, but if you turn there, you can get all of this that we just talked about, only it's like it's on steroids. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, it's turned up to the max. All of this tribulation, this problem, these troubles. Here's a sample of what Revelation speaks about during that time to give you an idea of how bad it can be, and it's why it's called the Great Tribulation. There's seven seal judgments. These usher in seven trumpet judgments. The seven trumpet judgments usher in seven bowl judgments, and all of this is poured out upon the earth. According to Revelation 6, there's going to be an unparalleled series of wars, and I think we're seeing that start. There's going to be human slaughter and worldwide famine, insomuch that the people would even ask for the mountains to fall upon them to kill them. That's how bad it's going to get. Then there's that seventh trumpet judgment in Revelation chapter 8, hail and fire falling down from the sky. Rivers and springs are polluted and poisoned, so you cannot drink the water. Then the rest of much of the earth is being burned up. Vegetation, forest, the grasses burn up. Then in Revelation 9, the bottomless pit is opened up. And in Revelation 12, hordes of demons come out of there. And then there's the seven bowl judgments. Revelation 16 talks about malignant sores upon mankind. Water sources again poisoned. The sun is scorching people on earth. And hail comes down from heaven. In some cases, the hailstones are 125 pounds. What would that do to your little car and your little house and your little tree? It's total destruction is what it is, folks. Total destruction. And you may say, why? Why? Well, God deemed it so. Why was it God only saved 8 souls during the flood? Exceeding wickedness upon the face of the earth. Hearts of men continually evil. And finally God said, okay, Slick, you're out of here. I gave you life. I can take your life. So these malignant sowers upon mankind, some say that may be from where they took the mark of the beast. Right hand, forehead, mark of the beast. Some say it's a chip implant and it's fed off the heat from the body, and the most heat's here and in the forehead to keep it charged up. The water sources are again poised. The sun scorches, and then the hail come down from heaven. These hailstones, 125 pounds. Revelation 16 now. International conflict. International. Worldwide. Eventually brings the coalitions of nations that will gather together and fight the mother of all mothers, called the Battle of Armageddon. That's why it's called the Great Tribulation, folks. And I know it's doom and gloom, but hey, you don't have to be there. After that, then Christ comes and sets up his millennial kingdom. After all of that. So there's going to be people living here on this earth, and even the Antichrist will marshal all the troops and the armies to try to fight against Christ coming. So remember the parable of this fig tree. When the branches are tender and puts forth its leaves, know you that summer's near. And he's saying, you know by this fig tree, when the leaves are coming forth, shooting forth, summer's near. Summer's near. And when you see these things, he's saying, when you start seeing these things happening, know that the end is near. That was one of the questions that the disciples asked him. How do we know when the end is coming? So he's telling them. He says, right, it's at the doors when you see these fig trees. In other words, when you see these signs that I'm telling you about, it's at the door knocking. Assuredly, I say to you that this generation will not pass away until all of these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but he says, not my word. His word will be forever. So remember, while you're saving up your gold and the silver and all of those earthly treasures, what good is it going to do you when you die? Now, hopefully you can pass it on to your children, but if our government keeps going like that, they won't get it. The government will take it. Jesus is speaking here in these parables. Some interpret that this, there's all kinds of stuff out there, folks. When you do the studies, you can't hammer nobody down because they won't hardly speak to the issues. It's like politicians. You can't get a straight answer out of them. It's the way it is with a lot of these expositors and stuff like that. When they hit the hard ones, they skirt around it. Jesus gives this parable. Some interpret it as this parable of the fig tree of the nation of Israel. And they look back when Israel was established as a nation in 1948. And they see that as the nation, the fig tree, is the regathering of the nations and the final generations. I don't see that. But the problem with that is, who's he talking to? Jesus is talking to these disciples. So how are you going to explain to them, well, you ain't going to be around no more. You know, it wouldn't be the time for him to tell them that scenario. There's another reason some people say about this, that the word generation in the Greek is gana. Gana means the race as well as a generation. It could mean simply that God has made a covenant with Israel, the Jewish people, that they're not going to be obliterated. Well, they're going to be pretty much obliterated at one point in history when they go in and ravage Jerusalem, and one third of the women are taken out and raped and all kinds of stuff going on. That's just before Christ comes down and his feet land on the Mount of Olives. But they're going to suffer. They're going to suffer, yet it's coming. But they will be saved. But they're going to suffer. Like we're going to suffer if we keep on doing what we're doing. Why would God not judge Israel for her sins? He judged Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't he? He's fair and just. So you can't sin and get away with it in the eyes of God. It don't work. The third possibility is this, which I stand on this one. Take it for face value that this fig tree is you see, a straightforward illustration of what you see happening now gives you an indication of what's coming next. In other words, if you look at the parallel account of Matthew 24, it's found in Luke chapter 21. In Luke, he says it's not only the fig trees, but these other trees as well. When you see them bringing forth the fig leaves, know that summer is near. And I think that Jesus is saying here concerning this parable of this fig tree, I've given you a list of signs, I've given you some indicators, and this is the assurance that when you have a winter of tribulation that's coming, you also have a time of spring blessings and summer. In other words, all this tribulation is going to happen when you see these leaves come forth. But after that, there's going to be spring and summer. In other words, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Now, what was happening back in those days? What are some of these tips he was talking about? Certain indicators, certain tips off. One of them was, if you look back at the time of Noah, in verse 37, it says, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, and until the day of Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. What are some of these signs that was happening back in Noah's day? There was a population increase. They were increasing, multiplying on the face of the earth. Scientists estimate that there was about 7 billion people on the planet at that time. They also estimate that by the year 2050, guess how many people is going to be on the earth? 21 to 22 billion. Do you think we have enough food sources to supply the needs of the people? To feed that many? I don't think so. Not especially how the government is controlling things. There's not farmlands that can support anymore the kind of grain and crops that we need. They're just, you know, so it's going to get bad. There was also an increase in wickedness and depravity back then. Three, there was an increase in violence. You remember when God said, my spirit will not always strive with men? The Bible says that God saw the hearts of the men, that the thoughts of their intent of their hearts was wicked, constantly wicked. So there's certain things in the time of Noah that Jesus said will precede his coming. The fourth one, old Noah's out there preaching for 120 years. No one heeded the message. The flood's coming. The flood's coming. The flood's coming. Yeah, look at that stupid idiot right out there in the middle of Iraq. There ain't no water out there. And he's building a big boat. Yeah, right. So the floods came, and all were destroyed. All, except for the 8 people that God allowed to enter the ark. They didn't listen to him until it was too late. Too late. Don't let you listening to the Word of God come too late, folks. Because there is a cutoff time. There is a time that it will all come to an end. And it depends on you on this side of life. The decision that you make here will result, am I going to be with God, Christ in heaven, in the new heaven, or I'm going to be over here in the lake of fire and brimstone, living forever there, suffering forever there, feeling, knowing, yet cannot escape. It's your choice. I'm going to stop there because I got so much more to go. I could probably get you three lessons out of this one. Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we come to you, we ask, Father God, that before we leave this morning and take your table, Father God, as I pray, Father, hear the hearts of those who are here, God, that they would glean what you would have them to have this morning. And Heavenly Father, we really don't understand all that's going on today. There's so much confusion, so much misinterpretation of the data and the facts. But we know this, Father. You're still on your throne and you honor your word. And Father, you told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So Father, we come before your throne right now when we pray for peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we don't know what you're working out. We don't know or understand all that's being done at this time, but we do know this. We know, Father God, that you're in charge of the nations, and your word says that the hearts of the kings are like the rivers of the waters in the hand of the Lord, and that you turn it whithersoever you will, Father. And Father, these are days in which we need strong leadership. We don't need to compromise in national leadership. We need strong leadership. And Father, we're asking you, Father God, for the peace of Jerusalem, and I'm asking for your will to be done. Father, we're asking you to do the work and your will be done in this conflict between Hamas, Hezbollah, and Israel. We pray that your will be done. We pray, thy will be done, just like Jesus prayed in the garden, thy will be done, Father. And it's good for us to pray too, is it not? That thy will be done, because you are sovereign God of this universe. You're just as much God today as you ever were. Remember when the enemy, Father, was coming up against Israel? Then one night, you killed 185,000. In one night, you sent the angel down and killed 185,000 that was coming up against Israel. Give them the victory. So whoever you choose to give the victory to, Father, by whatever means you choose to give it to, we pray for peace of Jerusalem. We pray in accordance with your word, asking you to grant peace to Jerusalem. And now, Father, I pray that you take these who are a part of this service today and the broadcast as it goes out. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Use them to advance your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. And before we say amen, Father, please help those who are in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Tennessee, and that church over in Louisiana. Father God, your will be done concerning all of this. But we ask for your mercy and grace upon them. Send them help, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to prepare to take the Lord's table. Now, let me say this to you. This church is an open church. And what I mean by that? It means if you're a child of God and you've been bought and purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, you've asked him to come into your heart and be Lord and Savior, and you know that you've been born again, then you can partake of this. This is not a closed church. You can do that. But rest assured, make sure you have been born again. Why do I say that? Because God says in His Word, in 1 Corinthians, that if you partake of this table unworthily, some of you have become sick, and some have even died. That's how serious it is. So if you have any question at all about your salvation, don't come here. Nobody's going to look at you and judge you because you don't come up. Quite the opposite. Now, I'm going to give you a chance. Bow your head. Father, only you know the condition of the hearts of individuals in here this morning. And only you know the condition of the hearts of individuals who may be listening to this message throughout. But Father, Holy Spirit, I'm asking if there's some of your elect in here who has never accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, I'm not talking about knowing who you are, Jesus. I'm talking about a real heart life-changing experience, Father God, where the individual accepts you, Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, who believes in their hearts that you went to that cross and your blood was shed on the cross, Father God, and you died, literally died, and was buried and stayed in that grave for 3 days. But as you spoke your own words, you came out of that grave and now are sitting with the Lord, Father God, at His right hand, making intercession and hearing these prayers right now. So, Father, that individual or those individuals who've never made a profession of faith or ever really in their heart accepted you, I pray that that happened today. Amen. No one has to lead them to the Lord, Father God. Holy Spirit, do the work. They've heard the message. They've heard the word. They know what they have to do. So, Father, do the work. Holy Spirit. Now, if you hear, you got sin in the life, get rid of it. Right now, get rid of it. Don't come up here and partake of this cup with sin in the life. The same could happen to you. Sickness, death, because you're taking of it unworthily and you know it. So I'm putting you on notice. If there's sin in the life, ask God to forgive you right now. Ask Jesus to forgive you of that. You say, but Pastor Gene, it's an ongoing thing. I can't stop. It's okay. Ask God to forgive you right now. And I pray that God would give you strength and the wherewithal to overcome those weaknesses in your life. So I'm going to take a moment of time here. You examine your heart. Father, Holy Spirit, turn on your spotlight into the hearts of the individuals who are hearing this message. And if there be any sin there, show it to them, Father, so they can confess and get it right.